Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is from the Old Testament reading. The comfort that God gives to his people Israel, especially the southern kingdom of Judah, as they prepare for the time of exile in Babylon, this is what the Lord says through the prophet Isaiah. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God? Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. This is our text. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. There is a beautiful description in the book of Exodus of God's rescue of his people from Israel as bearing them up on eagles' wings. It captures the sense of what Isaiah says here. But if God's rescue of his people Israel out of Egypt can be compared to lifting them up on eagles' wings, then what would we call their exile to Babylon? Is that them being sort of let go and dropped from the heights? And David, in his Psalms, talks about how God will help him to run against an enemy troop. But if David says that God's help will be with him when he runs against an enemy troop and will help him to leap over a wall, what do we make of the armies of Judah fleeing? Is God against them? And in the Psalms, it says that a man is blessed who walks in the way of the Lord. And if that's the case, then what do we call the man who walks away in chains? Is that man cursed? Exile, defeat, and chains would be familiar to God's people of Judah and Jerusalem. And even if these things are unfamiliar to you, you probably aren't a stranger to the feelings they had. You're probably not a stranger to the feeling of being dropped from the heights, or of having God against you, or of being under a curse. Every single one of us has had a time that has made our stomachs lurch, like that drop from on high. Maybe it was that time for you when the phone rang. Maybe it was the time you read that note that was left for you. Maybe it was the time that bleeding started, or that time you got the pink slip. Instead of soaring or running or even just walking, you may have found yourself paralyzed, numb, dead inside, maybe buried under. This is what the people were saying in Isaiah's day and in the days that followed. My way is hidden from the Lord. He doesn't see. My right is disregarded by my God. He doesn't care. God's promises seemed meaningless. They may have put their hands up wondering, what's happened to our God? He's hidden. And what about his people? Disregarded, abandoned, forsaken, and weary. And to those people, Isaiah says, no, it is not that way. Isaiah says, the Lord gives strength to those who are weary, and he will lift you up. Do you not know, Isaiah asks? Do you not hear? Has it not been declared? Have you not understood? And he assumes that the answer is yes. He assumes that we have known, that we have heard, that it has been declared to us and understood. And still we need to hear it again. And we especially need to hear it as we struggle with current issues and as we struggle with those times when we feel like we've been dropped by God, that He is against us or we are cursed. And what is it that we need to hear? It's that He, the Lord, who sits above the circle of the earth and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers. We need to hear that He is the one who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in. That He is the one who brings princes to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. You see, Isaiah points beyond this world. He points beyond this life. To the God, the Lord, who transcends this world, the one who made all things, who measured them and stretched them out, who is above all things. He reminds us that He sees and that He knows. Nothing is hidden from His sight. Not your needs, not your cares, not your struggles or your trials or your sorrows. They are all known to Him. And unlike us, because He's above and beyond this world, He doesn't get bent out of shape by the latest news. He doesn't get worked up by what's happening in the world. Now, we may be tempted to compare our God to other things. That's what was happening for His people in Judah and Jerusalem. And we are people who often make comparisons. It seems like our entire life is one of making comparisons, even more so than back in that day. Every day we compare prices and features and quality, and we compare make and model, and we compare our work to the work of someone else. When things went poorly, especially in the time of exile, God's people were tempted to make comparisons. And they were tempted to compare their God against the things they saw around them. How does God measure up to the nations around? How does God measure up to the idols that these nations worship? How does God measure up to the rulers of these nations? And the people who were in exile, when they started making those comparisons, they might have begun wondering at times, if our God is so great, why are we in Babylon? If our God is so great, why are the treasures of His temple held captive by the God of Babylon? If our God is so great, why was our king dragged off in captivity while the king of Babylon sits on a throne? They were tempted to compare their God with the things they saw around them. And I'm not saying they were doing false worship, but it was even that sort of desire and temptation to begin matching God up with what they see and wondering, is He really strong enough? Is He powerful enough to save us? We too are tempted to make comparisons. We are tempted to put God back to back with things of this world and see how He measures up, just to make sure that we haven't missed out, just to make sure that we've got the best possible God we can have. You see, the fear of God's people, as they looked at these other idols and other nations, is that maybe their God was not able to deliver them. Maybe they put their eggs in the wrong basket. They entertained the fear that the Lord wasn't powerful enough. They were believing, but they were of small faith, and they needed a strong comfort. And so that's what the Lord gives them through Isaiah. He reminds them that there is no comparison. Comparing God to the nations or the idols or the rulers is like comparing two things that are completely and totally opposite. They don't even belong in the same category. It's not apples and oranges. I don't know, it's like grasshoppers and the Lord of the universe. That's the comparison. So God says, "To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him? Lift up your eyes on high. Look to the sky and see who created the stars. He is the one who brings out their host in number. He is the one who calls them all by name, by the greatness of his might. Because he is strong in power, not one of them is missing." It's a sort of amazing picture that Isaiah gives, to look up to the heavens if there were no clouds and you could see the stars, and we will see them again someday, God willing, that God brings all of the stars out. He knows the name of the stars, and he has numbered them. The picture that Isaiah gives is of the Lord sort of shepherding the stars, like they're a flock of sheep, and not one of them is ever missing. It's amazing to think of that our God has determined the care of all things, and he even loves and cares for the stars. To whom will you compare him? And so we turn to our Lord Jesus Christ, and we see there a God who is beyond all comparison. Can he save? Was the question. Oh, does he ever save his people? Jesus, who, as we heard in the Gospel of Mark today, was going hour by hour and day by day, serving his people, caring for them, and providing for their needs. It picks up where we left off last Sunday when Jesus left that synagogue where he cast out the unclean demon. And then he goes and he heals Simon Peter's mother-in-law. And then in the evening he's gathered to a house and more people come to be healed. He spends all night healing. And then in the morning he goes up a mountainside to pray. A day in the life of Jesus from morning to sunset to the next morning, our Lord is pressed by people in need. They are gathered at his door. They are clamoring for his help. Everyone is looking for you, the disciples say. Can you imagine how weary our Lord must have been when that long day ended? Nowhere to lay his head, nowhere to find peace and quiet, nowhere to escape from the world's needs or the needs of his people, nowhere to get away from their prayers or their sicknesses or their sins. But he wouldn't have it any other way. Our Lord does not compare with any other God because he cares so deeply and so much for his people. And there may have been moments that day when he healed Simon Peter's mother-in-law that it seemed like our Lord was soaring on wings like an eagle. It may have seemed as if he was running without being weary as he went from town to town to town preaching the good news. It may have looked like he walked without fainting when he carried his cross on the way to Calvary, that he might be the Savior of the world and your Savior as well. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it was long and hard and wearying work that our Lord did, that he might be your God, and that he might be the God to whom no other God, no other thing could possibly or ever compare, that he might be the one to give you strength and lift you up. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary of caring for you. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. And this is what he does. As often as one who is weary, he gives strength. As often as one is in need, he gives care. As often as one is lost, he finds them and brings them home. And Isaiah reminds us of what our God is able to do. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. 20-year-olds and 30-year-olds wear out as well. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint, by the strength that the Lord gives. If we're honest with ourselves, the part about mounting up with wings like eagles sounds fabulous. That's what we would like our days and our weeks and our years to be like. To be those who soar through this life, high above everything. But it's not always like that. Sometimes it is. Maybe it's enough for us to think of running without growing weary, to keep running that race, as St. Paul talked about it, right to the end, that we may obtain the prize without ever flagging. Sometimes it's like that. but not always. It may be enough for us if God simply helps us to walk without growing faint. It's an amazing thing to see how Isaiah goes from soaring to running to walking. And I'll be honest, it's enough for me if the Lord simply gets me through this life one step at a time without fainting and losing heart. And so he does. Your word, O Lord, is a lamp to my feet. You know, the lamps they had weren't like our giant spotlights. A little lamp that might light your way one step at a time. You can't see miles ahead. You don't know what tomorrow will bring, but you can see the next step that the Lord will take you on. You can see that you have a firm footing in Christ. And so I know we want to soar. I know we'd be really happy to run, but may we be content simply to walk with our Lord and to have him walk with us as we wait on him and hope in him, one step at a time, following in the way that leads to eternal life. And I can guarantee you on that day, when our Lord comes again and we are raised from the dead, our walking will turn into running and will become soaring, and we will mount up with wings like eagles. So may the Lord be your strength today and every day. May he lead you as you walk. May he be behind you when you run, and may he be beneath you when you soar, until the day comes when the soaring never ends. In Jesus' name, amen.